Chapter 12, Attainment of the Spirit. Entering the adjacent hall, adorned with gold, precious stones, and brightly shimmering under the light of magical crystals hanging from the ceiling, Bhagavan saw on the wall the map of Trans-Himalayas. It marked all the halls and labyrinths of the underground city, great libraries housing the sacred books of all times and nations, all the great knowledge that once emanated from the circle of Kailash priests and was transmitted to humanity by its hierarchs, the great masters of mankind. The map indicated laboratories where mysterious and enigmatic experiments took place. There were repositories where bodies of all races and nations representing Earth lay in a lethargic sleep. Giants and dwarfs, Atlanteans and Lemurians, blacks and Chinese, the genotype of all Earth's inhabitants were stored here. Also marked on the map was the southern entrance to Trans-Himalayas, through which aspirants from Tibet, China, and India entered. Bhagavan, however, entered through the northern entrance, located in the sacred cave. The southern entrance was located at the source of the Brahmaputra. It was situated beneath one of the waterfalls formed by the Brahmaputra at the beginning of its course. The water flow concealed the passage to the mysterious grot. The Trans-Himalayas itself extended from the sacred mountain to the Brahmaputra. Although the land of the dedicated was small, it preserved and guided the process of spiritual evolution throughout the earth. There was not a single piece of knowledge, skill, or spiritual teaching that did not originate from there. To the greatest sorrow, almost all these great teachings were distorted and warped by human ignorance, serving political purposes. Such were Bhagavan's reflections when Jesus Christ and Buddha approached him. Reading his thoughts, they sympathetically nodded. "If I were to come to Christian pastors now, they would crucify me again," said Christ, with eyes full of compassion for human ignorance. "Great misunderstandings await you, Brother Bhagavan," he added, placing his hand on Bhagavan's shoulder.
"Yes, it won't be easy for you to bear the truth to the people,"
Buddha added.
"But still, I envy you in a good way, because the light has not seen such enlightened ones as you. For you carry the comprehensive teachings of the circle of Kailash priests, while we only carried its parts."
"I simply stood on the shoulders of giants," Bhagavan humbly replied. "So now, thanks to you, people are becoming capable of perceiving the teachings of the circle of Kailash priests more fully."
"We were all conceived by extraterrestrials," said Jesus. "My mother was introduced to a carrier of extraterrestrial genes. It all looked like an immaculate conception to the people of that time."
"And my mother Maya even died during my birth," confessed Buddha. "Because it is not an easy task to embody the soul from a higher world here. But soon, all people on Earth will be born this way, with the infusion of more highly organized genes. Then more magnificent beings will incarnate on Earth."
On the adjacent wall, Bhagavan saw a strange drawing, an eye in a triangle. In this eye, strange and colorful lines created a haze, and contemplating them, one could see the outlines of whimsical beings, plants, palaces, and who knows what else. Then the gaze of this eye focused on the enormous body of a human,
and looked through his eyes, perceived through his ears, nostrils, tongue, and other sensory organs.
This is how ancient magicians saw the structure of a human, said Buddha. The eye in the triangle is the human himself, his consciousness, spirit, a spark of the absolute. The consciousness of a human is in the nirvanic world, in non-existence, in primary emptiness. And from there, all of us look at the world through these impoverished physical bodies, through their somewhat blind eyes, somewhat deaf ears, through weak sensory organs incapable of perceiving the surrounding world in all its grandeur and diversity. The triangle in which this eye resides signifies the three fundamental properties of consciousness. Attention, through which consciousness perceives the world, will, governing attention, and grace as a channel connecting our individual consciousnesses with the cosmic Father, the universal consciousness. And in each moment of such union, we experience bliss, joy from the dissolution of the finite, limited in the infinite.
And we experience this grace in prayer, in meditation, in samadhi, added Christ. But many sleep in the identification with what they see in this world, with the body, with feelings, with the mind. But these are just glasses or microscopes through which you observe the world. Therefore, I often told disciples, stay awake, for the kingdom of heaven is near. That is, do not identify yourself with the body with imagination. Remember that you are consciousness, spirit, temporarily residing in this body, in this world. Do not attach greater importance to this world, and this body is nothing more than a prison of your spirit.
While a person sleeps, considering himself the body,
continued Buddha,
considering himself the fiction created about him by other people, considering himself German, Indian, having such parents, such a profession, such education, his attention is involuntary. The external world controls it, turning the person into a puppet. He is made a soldier fulfilling the international duty in war, a builder of a bright future for the state, an appendage of machines. But a person, realizing himself as consciousness, spirit, can manifest his will and begin to control his attention, directing it to self-awareness, to God. And then he will become free, attain enlightenment, nirvana. He will no longer be a puppet in the hands of advertising, politicians, and priests.
Truly so, supporting Buddha's words, Christ added. You are to carry this knowledge, said Jesus, placing his hand on Bhagavan's shoulder. Your time has come to save this world, my brother. But we will be with you,
Krishna added, joining them.
Just tell my devotees not to repeat my name in vain. Let them repeat it at least once, but with love, because what a person focuses on is what he receives. Focusing on wealth, he gains wealth. Focusing on knowledge, he gains knowledge. Focusing on fame, he gains fame. Focusing on oneself, on that center from which his attention emanates, he discovers himself, his true self, and through him, through his awakening, he discovers God.
Gathering together, the hierarchs of the Circle of Kailash Priests headed to the meditation hall, illuminated by the light of lamps and filled with the smoke of incense. They sat in a circle in the lotus position and entered the state of Mahasamadhi, dissolving in God, so that by discarding their self, they become it. In the meditation hall were the bodies of Christ, Buddha, Krishna, Kuthumi, El Morya, Muhammad, Bhagavan, Zoroaster. But their consciousness was no longer in them at that moment. It was dissolved in the light of divine grace. May the path to unity with God open for each of you through the holy teaching of the Circle of Kailash Priests. Aum.
Do you want to know more? Watch the animated masterpiece that reveals the mysteries of humanity. Discover more sacred knowledge in books. You can meet the main characters of books at our seminars. Find your amulet of power. Participate in an individual ritual. Open free channel with daily spiritual practices for yourself. All these you will find on our website www.amazon1.org.